I'm Dr. Brian Kaufman, a family doctor and CLL patient, and I'm here in Belgrade, Serbia, at the first meeting of the CLL AN, the CLL Advocacy Network. Want to introduce yourself, please?
Hello, I'm Chris Fagan. I'm a hematologist from the United Kingdom.
And Dr. Fagan, you have many areas of interest, but one of your areas is the watch and wait. And can you explain what that is and why that's important for patients to understand?
Well, one of the very interesting things in CLL is the amount of research going on. But one of the real areas of unmet need is, in fact, in the majority of patients. 70% of patients are found by chance and actually don't necessarily require treatment at all. These patients are told their disease may wake up in the future, it may not, and they'll just have to wait and see. They may do a bunch of tests called prognostic markers to try and give a better insight into whether the disease is likely to progress. But at the end of the day, the patient walks out not really knowing what's going to happen to them as an individual. And living with CLL, having been told you've got leukemia but nothing needs doing, is a real burden for patients. Comorbidities come from just the word leukemia, and there's been virtually no research into what it's actually like for these patients. There's been some pivotal studies of living with CLL. Half the patients are worrying about their CLL 2 years after they've been told they've got it. They worry on a daily basis because it impacts their life on a daily basis. They worry about the family, they worry about the friends, they worry about their job, worry about insurance and travel insurance. It impacts enormously on patients, and it really is an unmet area of research, and it would be great to have patients' involvement of what sort of studies they would feel be appropriate and how it can help them. We've got to be able to do better than just giving the patient the label, here's leukemia, and then say things to them like, it's not a bad leukemia to have because nothing may happen to you. That is absolutely no assistance to patients whatsoever. They are living with it day to day and the burden that brings with them. In the modern world as well, with the internet and everything, the number of drug advances coming along, you know, patients are bewildered by the sort of information they can get, and they really need to get the right sort of information that's pertinent to them. And that may not be easy because a lot of the evidence that comes out is driven from commercial pharma companies, and I know that's absolutely wonderful. There really is a role for objective, informed information for patients, and ideally that would come from patients for patients, so that people who've been through this and understand that little bit better about what it's like to have CLL can actually assist those people who've got it.
The psychological stresses of being told, one, you have a cancer, two, that it's incurable, and three, and we're not going to do anything about it, is just this triple hit for patients that makes it very difficult for them to figure out what's going on and how to cope with it.
Oh yes, and it comes down to, is my doctor telling me the truth sometimes? He just doesn't want to tell me how bad this is. And so the patient actually walk out the room thinking that is the doctor really being honest with me, or is he trying to save from hurting my feelings by actually being kind? And so the word go, there's that sort of not misunderstanding, everyone's telling the truth, but actually what the doctor does understand is the impact it has on the patient. And the patient really can't quite understand why the doctor sort of do not worry about this, actually, because you don't need treatment. There's a lot more to worry about than just treatment. And it shows as simple as travel insurance to go abroad. Do you write down that you've got a cancer? Insurance for a car, hire purchase or whatever. And the job, do you tell your boss? Do you tell your children? And I have a lot of patients who haven't told their children they've got leukemia because they don't want the children to get upset or get worried. And they're living with that, and then they feel guilty because they haven't told the children. Occasionally the children find out and the children get annoyed because the children want to support their parent. There's a lot of unsaid things which probably should be said. But every patient is different. Every patient's circumstance is different. There's no right or wrong way of doing things. And in that 10-15 minute consultation, when you're there with the consultant, quite often, once the word leukemia is used, half the patients, they switch off mentally in terms of listening to what's being told because they've just been told something horrific. And we all have an idea what leukemia means from the television. We see programmes on leukaemia on the television. It's quite often young children, no hair, vomiting away into a bowl, because that makes really good telly. What doesn't make good telly is I take me tablets, they're not even chemotherapy. I go to work, I feel absolutely fine, I've got no side effects. Oh, I do have CLL, and my wife, life is absolutely wonderful. My wife is really happy. In CLL, we see all those spectrums, from nothing wrong with your working through to actually working through on modern therapies to those people who require chemotherapy. Everyone is different.
And there was some data presented in one of the advocacy sessions on a survey done in 2013 in France by SILC, the CLL advocacy group in France. And what was very interesting to me is how many patients told their spouse, their children, their friends, and their coworkers. And it was a significant percentage, especially when you got to the coworkers, who never told them that they had leukemia.
Yeah, and they're worried because in the workplace, if they make mistakes, and we all make mistakes as humans, will people say, he shouldn't be doing this job, he's got cancer. And therefore, the whole pressure is onto people to keep it to themselves. It's almost a dirty little secret that I can't share with anyone. But actually, to cope with this illness, which may be 20 years you live with it and nothing, absolutely nothing happens, you're making yourself have a less quality, higher quality of life by actually keeping that to yourself. But I can understand fully why some people would not want people to be told. They think they're doing it for the right purposes, but they're probably not. But when you're told the diagnosis like this, where do you go to get the right advice of what you should do? And everybody is different. Some children may want to assist their parents in this, some children may not want to assist their parents with coping with this. Everyone is different, but getting together and find out what actually goes on in the real world. And the study you mentioned, this is one of very few of these sort of things that are going on, where 70% of our patients are in that group. And I've even had some patients say to me, oh, thank God my disease has progressed. I can now have treatment. At last, someone's doing something about it. And when I hear that, I think to myself, well, that's a failing on my part. How can anyone wish their cancer has grown? It's just absolutely counterintuitive. That's a failing on our part, that we haven't actually managed to assist them in that journey of the unknown of what is going to happen to me early on in their disease.
Any final thoughts or anything you'd want to share with patients about this difficult period of watch and wait, which is there for almost every patient?
For me, the most important thing is communication with somebody who knows. And if you're lucky enough to have a doctor you think you can communicate those things with, then absolutely brilliant. But there's advocacy group, there's patient group, there's charities, there's information on the internet. My advice is, we do try and get help with it, because you'll have a much, much, much better time, a much better quality of life, and you will feel better if you actually get assistance, even though you probably feel that actually you don't want to be a burden to others. You're not being a burden to others. There are lots of people out there who want to help.
And that's one of the things we try to do at the CLL Society, is the support and education groups to help people with this. And there's actually some evidence that what we make a difference at a genomic level, because you can turn genes on and off based on your anxiety, your stress, your lifestyle. So anything we can do to help people cope with that difficult psychological problem may actually have some influence on terms of the course of their disease.
I have no doubt at all. You're absolutely right with that. We know that people are depressed, the immune system doesn't function as well. And if you're depressed, you don't eat as well. All these things matter in the long run. A lot of patients ask me if there's anything I can take, doctor, to actually slow it down or whatever. My usual answer to that is no, but if you find something that you actually find helps you, then there is no problem with having that. My usual advice is, don't spend too much money on it. But if you find something which helps you cope with your illness, makes you feel better, there is absolutely no harm in that at all, because what they're probably doing is boosting their immune system through that process, and they're feeling as if they're actively contributing to the management of their illness, as opposed to, the doctor told me I've got leukemia, don't worry about it and go away. Patients want to be involved.
Dr. Fagan, thanks so much for what you're doing, not just for your patients in front of you, but for the CLL community. Thanks so much.
All the very best, man.
Thanks.
Thank you. It's inspired.